her music is everything. Like it's sometimes it's folk and sometimes it's like old traditional folk. Sometimes it's got a jazz sound to it. Sometimes she screams, sometimes she chirps, sometimes she cries. Sometimes she, you don't know what she's going to do next. And not only that, her violin, she's an extension, her vocals, her voice are kind of like an extension of her violin. And she's something to see. She's amazing. So I got to say kudos to Gary Topp for having the insight to bring her to Toronto. She's been to Toronto a couple times, but to play at the Rivoli in a very intimate spot, in a live improvised music performance, I think is great. She's going to be there with Mike Milligan. He's a noted Toronto bassist. Also likes to explore in soundscapes, sonic soundscapes. I like this sort of thing. I wouldn't say that Eva is like Laurie Anderson. I would say, like I said, she's in the same realm as that. So it's a musician's music. And sometimes her voice is gushy. She get very guttural, almost like D'Amanda Galas. And again, D'Amanda Galas was part of Open Ears a couple of years back, and she performed at Zion United Church, and that was something to see. But Eva seems she has such a range, such a vocal range, and there's a reason for it too. There's a reason for her incredible spectrum. So I'm going to play some Eva Batova. And then I'm going to, and this is A Strange Young Lady. This is a track that she often performs, and she's performed in different incarnations as well. And then I'm going to air an interview that I did with Eva from her home in New York earlier on this week. Okay, this is Eva Batova on Coral FM.
Thank you. všechno děje? To všechno děje? To všechno dělá ze mne divnou svečinku.
That was Eva Batova, a strange young lady. And here is here's the interview I did with Eva Batova earlier on this week on Coral FM.
And because you have so many different disciplines, do they feed each other when you're on stage?
I think so. It's kind of complex what I try to create because, I'm practicing my whole life. And what I want to show up is the perfect compact sound of violin and voice, which required a lot of hours of practicing. So I don't want to show up how hard it is. I like to feel free. So that means every new piece which I like to compose or I like to present needs to be practiced quite long, let's say half year, maybe longer. It depends how complicated piece is, and I would like to find things which are not so easy. So I make hard work just by myself. But to answer on your question, in my solo program, I always like to have space for improvising, let's say like 40% of improvising music, and then rest is the songs or the music which I wrote down or I arranged by myself from another composers.
Yeah, which makes sense. I see you. I've seen a couple of your performances. I'm really looking forward to the show at the Rivoli. And it's funny. It's hard to tell sometimes your voice and the violin, sometimes they finish each other's sentences. Do you know what I mean by that? It's sort of like one is an extension of the other. Is that
So it's hard to explain it because most of result and most of the atmosphere and information which comes out, it's built up very spontaneously by instinct.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
Yeah, and sometimes it's very hard to explain it by words. But it's just a matter of a really open mind and kind of free feeling to relax, because violin is not so relaxing instrument. You have to work and practice nearly every day. So, but this is what I maybe want to explain, that how much I give to instrument, then I will get back from the violin. And violin is as a teacher of my voice now. I never get the lessons for singing, but I always have the lessons and teacher in Czech Republic, and I have lessons, and I play a lot of classic way of technique.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's very important that, because I feel much stronger if I am good on a violin, then I'm really free also with my singing.
Your voice... How do you nurture your voice? Because it goes from anywhere from very heavenly to almost guttural, and it can squeak if it wants to as well. So how do you look after your voice? What do you do to Yeah, how do you nurture, how do you take care of your voice? Because it's so amazing. It's so unique.
I can tell you, it's not so secret, but I am quite a person who is not talking like every day, and really best is if I save as much as I can, walk in quiet, and I try to spend time in the nature and in a really peaceful place, which gives me a lot of energy. And then there is just moment that on the right way I can open it my soul and I can sing as much as I can. I'm not really a specialist of practicing voice. Really, I think that it's very healthy if you are in control every day, what is your life, how you organize your schedule every day. Mm-hmm. If I'm tired with all other things, organizing or like just crazy going somewhere to the big cities, then also your voice, it's physically, you know, it's really tired, and you cannot bring and open so much energy what you really want to. So that's my idea how to keep my voice healthy and strong enough.
I know you're outside of New York, which is beautiful. So when you practice, are you outside? Do you commune a lot with nature when you're practicing? Do you walk, or how do you compose, basically?
Mostly I don't listen to any other music. I want to keep my, I'm not a friend of the radio, and I don't have TV. Mm-hmm. So just time to time we watch with my sons some movies, but just like weekends. Usually the most of time I'm really in quiet and I'm listening to nature. I have a house now in New York upstate, and it's really like in the woods.
Yeah.
It's very isolated somehow, but not isolated to birds and all the sounds from the nature. And this is what I really need, because I know that when I am on a tour and I am coming back, in 2 days I can really relax and get the energy back. I'm not really tired if I have place to stay, like out of the, you know, of the noises and all those things.
Yeah, exactly.
And so usually I start to physically to, you know, to work on my body, and I'm going outside, and then I start to practice violin. And when I practice enough, I feel free suddenly to sit down and to develop some music and to make kind of improvising. And then I'm writing down if I like something. Now I'm working on the piece which I will next month with the children choir in Austria. Mm-hmm. This would be on the lake, and it's very close to the mountains. It's a beautiful view. It's a lake, and its surrounding is just hills, very, very high hills. Mm-hmm. And the stage is on the lake. So my plan is to bring the children in groups in the boats. Mm-hmm. And they were singing on the lake and coming to the stage slowly with singing. So I'm just working on that to make the open throat to sing that full voice to make echo on the hills on that space.
So I was going to say that I guess the environment would have a natural reverb to it, which would be really interesting. I know I saw you. I'm not sure where you were. It looked like in the mountains. You were singing My Funny Valentine. An amazing version of that song. Where were you? It looked like a...
That was in Sardinia, in Italy.
Yeah. Where were you?
It's very magic place, because they say that all people which they really wish to get kind of the energy from, let's say, God or from other space, they are going up to this place, up to the hill. There is a huge stone which is like the gems of the ancient time, you know, it's forever there,
right.
And has a lot of energy, and people are just coming there and lay down on the ground very close to this song. And because the organizers, they know that I'm connected by nature and I can create something special. So they just promote my solo performance there on the top of the hill. It was really magic. It was beautiful. And it was very perfect timing because I start to sing and play just before sunset. And then it was slowly, you know, turning to the dark. It was so beautiful.
That's amazing. I have seen Bang on a Can All-Stars because they were here where I live in Waterloo region. And I, Alida looks amazing. This is a, based on a poem, right? Based on a Czechoslovakian poet. How did you play with them a lot? How did this? How did you all meet?
Oh, you know, everything is just it comes to me time to time, and I'm quite lucky on this point because, like other things, and other. The bands and music society, Bang on a Can just invite me. I know that it's long time ago for Marathon, and they ask for exclusivity to play in New York City for 8 minutes.
Wow.
And this was, at that time I was still in Czech Republic, and I flew there and to play just only that place, 8 minutes for them. And it was kind of magic. And Kenny Savelson, who is the leader of the Bang on a Can Heat, he told me that it was for them such a unusual and great experience. And then they just asked me to come again and to make whole program. So it was like that.
Yeah, they're amazing. And the other person I've seen, and this is a long time ago in a very small space here in town, was Fred Frith. And he does amazing. He does the same thing with guitar as you do with violin. So how did you two meet?
That was another very important thing in my life because it was, I think, 1989. Mm-hmm. They invited me to perform. At that time, I was playing with the drummer as a duo, violin, voice, and drums, with Pavel Fight. And it was invitation to play at Kneading Factory, the old one Kneading Factory in New York City. And it was the night to share two different programs, duo, Eva Bitova, Pavel Fight, and Fred Frith and Sonkora. And what I want to say, it was very important moment for me because I met Fred first time alive.
Yeah.
I know, from I was already, I know about his music and all his projects, and I was very nervous and shy to meet him in person. But what was really important, he asked me after the show that we can just go and to improvise all together as a four musicians on the stage. And this was my first moment with improvising music. He was one of the very important musician who encouraged me to do it. And from that time, I know him and we beautiful friendship, and I know how to improvise now. So it was him who opened that space for me in music.
Yeah, he's amazing. There's something, I learned this word, I didn't know what it meant, but I've been listening to Philip Glass and Steve Reich for a long time, and I always thought it was a repetitive chord, but I guess it's called an ostinato, is that right?
Ostinato, yeah.
Can you improvise within the ostinato? Why is that important to you? Because I find that that's in your music a lot. It's in Fred's too. Why is that important?
You know, it's kind of expression of speaking, something like that.
Oh, okay.
It's, it's same time, rhythmically, it helps you to connect to people and to, to be on the kind of same rhythm and sometimes same tune, like if you really want to speak the same language, you know, it's kind of, it helps, ostinato helps you with this, those little things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've always liked it. I think it's very powerful, and the more you listen to an ostinato, the deeper it gets. So I wanted to ask you about this because I thought, this is something I've just discovered. I need to ask Eva about this.
I hope that I explain it to you.
Oh, yeah.
In the right way.
I think so. Something else, too. I'm very interested in theater, and I know you did a fair bit of acting and then left it and went back to violin, but you worked with Goose on a String, which is very avant-garde theater. Did working with Goose on a String help you with your musical performance?
Of course, yep. Because that time when I was there, it was one of the most powerful theater and group of people,
mm-hmm.
very very young, very underground,
yeah.
with the ideas,
mm-hmm.
very new with how to express ourselves with our, you know, kind of the message, how we see our life. And it was still during the communism,
mm-hmm.
and it was really not easy. And that time,
yeah.
it was very powerful for us. And most of us get enough power to be creative. I was very young. I didn't know what happened with me. I just felt it, you know, that time that something is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to go and to play violin, my name was already out of the country, and
mm-hmm.
it was not too difficult to show to the organizers some different of my side, of my work, what I am doing. And at the same time, it was very, connection to the directors in the theater at that time was very independent, because they were not really working too much and pushing us to do. But same time, if I was not really prepared, I was not really good. You know, it was very kind of type of how to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
I find out how to work by myself and on the theater as an actor. So, and then I was, you know, I got some information. I learned it, how to work on myself. And that's why it was very important. Then when I start to create my music, I was a little bit sure how
mm-hmm.
to work and how to create and how to bring out the information which I want to say as a musician. And I was really, like, very free to move on the stage and to stay on the, like, on the front of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So this was very important.
It's beautiful how all the elements kind of, you know, come together when you're on stage. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of songs. I like 100 Years as well. That's great. I thought, well, there's a theatrical. You're performing with a mask, which I thought was really neat. Is this your second time in Canada? How many times have you been in Canada? Because I know you're here for the Ottawa Jazz Festival as well as the Rivoli.
I was there a few times, maybe two times, in Victoriaville. Do you know that in Quebec?
Mm-hmm.
And I was many times in Vancouver, which is on the other side, and in Toronto maybe three times.
Okay.
And in Montreal a few times. Yeah, but you know, it's hard these days to get really invitation, because
it's
hard time for anytime I like to come to Toronto to play. I know that some people they know me and they are waiting for
my
performance.
Oh, I can hardly wait. when Gary told me you're coming to the Rivoli, I went, I want to interview her. Please, can I do that?
Yeah.
He's great. He's just the best. Mike Milligan, he's a bassist. He's another music explorer. So, or when you meet, is that going to be the first time you've met and you'll just sort of, you know,
yes.
crash yes. together on stage. That'll be great.
This is what I really love to be not prepared with whom I am really going to play. I trust and I believe that Gary has good taste of mm-hmm. choice.
Oh, yes. Very
and
good.
I'm really, really looking forward to meet this guy on the stage and immediately start to improvise together, because this kind of, interaction and the communication which goes spontaneously on the stage mm-hmm. makes me kind of surprised, which I really love it, because it's like you really have to be connect immediately on the time on the stage. So I hope that we will not have any rehearsal before, because we don't need it, I'm quite sure. I did it same with Bill Frisell and and other people. Yeah, yeah. It's always nice to jump to the stage and immediately to talk, you know. It's kind of discussion with the instrument, so it's really... And usually it happens that we build up something which is beautiful and people will appreciate it.
Is there a performer that you would like to work with that you haven't had a chance to yet?
What do you mean?
A musician that you would like to perform with on stage that you haven't had a chance to perform with yet.
Okay. My kind of little dream, I know it seems long time, to sing with Tom Waits, because I really would like to create his low, really, you know, his express with my maybe very kind of... like light, like bird singing voice. This makes it very beautiful. How to do it, I don't know. How to connect him, he is very, you know, it's not easy, but it's kind of a little dream which maybe one day will come through.
You know, there's another singer that does kind of bird calls. I met her years ago. Her name's Lena Lovitch, and she did a song called Bird Song, and she trills. And I thought, Eva kind of trills. Like, there's a little bird happening there sometimes, which is really neat.
But you know what? It helps me to create all these sounds because of the violin. Has such a beautiful a little range of the sound, which is on high pitch, on the E strings, very high. And mm-hmm. it's just bird singing. So that's why I like to share with my voice and violin sound together.
Well, it's beautiful. Do you have a new record coming out in 2013 that we can talk about? Is there something?
Yeah, I would love to bring some new material, because it's a little long time ago. It was last time. So I already made a recording, which we have to just mixing out and mastering, which could hopefully happen next month with Manfred Eicher. Do you know label ECM?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Manfred asked me to make solo. I did solo for him. And he is more as a producer who really likes to listen a different kind of thing which comes from my voice and violin. So it's a little different than what I usually do, but it would be my solo violin voice. Hopefully release it in fall this year.
Excellent. Well,
and there is another which I believe it will come out. I did in Czech Republic, and mm-hmm. hopefully will come also to the United States. It's my music arranged for the Philharmonic Orchestra mm-hmm. and my band. It's very like big sound of songs and. I'm quite very, very happy with this work. So we are still working on it, and it will come out in the fall.
Also. Oh, that's awesome, too. I have another question. I have one last question. Ani jsem světlo, ani tma, má ani tvá, ani bílá, ani čer, potom ani hned, tady, ani teď, ani tma, ani den mál, ani noc, den a ani noc.
ani sen, voda, ani prach, radost, ani strach, ani bílá, ani čert, oheň, ani led, potom ani hned, ani tma, ani den málo, ani noc, den, ani noc, ani já, ani sen, tady, ani tam, sama, ani sám, ne, nečekuj, sama nejdem, my se shodáváme, my tam dám, my jsme oba tam, a já dám zpět, potom ani hned, nečekáme, ne, nečekuj, sama nevím tam, tam se shodáváme, my tam dávno, my jsme oba tam, a já dám zpět, nečekuj, sama nevím kam, tak se schovávám, nevím kam dávno, jsme oba tam, a já dávno zpět, potom ani hned, nečekám dávno, jsme oba tam, a já dávno tam, sama nevím kam, nevíš sám, ani tma, ani den málo, ani noc, dena, ani noc, ani já, ani sen tady, ani tam, sama, ani sama, ani bílá, ani čem dobrá, ani zlá, ty a ani já.
Thank you.
things I'm working at. That was Iva Batova in a performance with Bang on a Can All Stars. And that was also a feature length interview I did with, Iva, that I did with Iva earlier on this week. She is at the Rivoli in Toronto, June the 21st. The show starts at 9 p.m. She is there with noted Toronto double bassist Mike Milligan. The two of them are going to do a live improvised music performance. They have never met before. They will not meet until the day of the show. So without, and I don't think they're going to rehearse beforehand, so it'll be really interesting. I think it'll be a great show. If you want more information, go to ticketweb.ca. And yes, Iva Batova at the Rivoli, Thursday, June 21st. I'm going to the show. I'm really excited about this. Iva's one of Iva's favorite singers, and I can see her working with him one day, is Tom Waits. So for you, Iva, this is Tom Waits and Black Rider on Coral FM, and I'll be right back with the cast of Listen Leslie, who are sitting in the studio with me as we speak. Tom Waits. And that was for Iva Batova and Gary Topp, if you're listening as well, the guy that's actually bringing her into Toronto. My hero. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, it's just after five, but I'm here till six. So I have a